If you live in or visit the smaller towns in our region, you probably got used to seeing stores with Dollar in the name. The likes of Dollar General and Dollar Tree are on a building boom across the country, building somewhere close to 2,000 new stores just in this calendar year, and usually in areas where the population is fairly thin. The dollar stores serve markets too small for the likes of Walmart. Let's talk about the building boom and what it means for dollar store consumers and the places they live. We turn to Garrick Brown, who is a vice president of retail research for the Americas at the firm Cushman & Wakefield. Thanks for joining us, Garrick.
Hey, good morning, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
Give us a little bit of a background on what Cushman & Wakefield is and what you do.
Sure. Well, we're a commercial real estate firm. We do brokerage, property management, help people who are buying or selling commercial real estate. And what I do there basically is my job is to track trends, forecast trends that are coming, figure out what rents people should be paying, what buildings should sell for, but pretty much just in the retail world. And so it's been really interesting to be watching. While the headlines have really been dominated by retail closures, by retail bankruptcies this last 18 months or so, really one of the big stories has been the growth of off-price, discount, and dollar concepts. Like you said, 2,000 stores just this year from the big dollar store chains. There's actually been nearly 10,000 stores added in the last 5 years. And if you break it down, it basically means a dollar store is open somewhere in the United States once every 4.5 hours for 5 years straight.
That is a very brisk pace. Does anything compare with that? Any boom in building anything else over that time?
Maybe only Starbucks in the late 90s.
Wow.
So,
okay.
But really, not really. I mean, at this point, there's no other sector that's growing as quickly. And when you look at it, a big part of their strategy has been to go into small towns and essentially become the new general store. It's a little bit different than the surge of growth we saw from Walmart in the late 90s when they would go into medium-sized towns out on the outskirts of town. We literally came up with a new phrase for them. It was called category killers because they would go on the edge of town and basically kill every mom and pop category on the old downtown streets. You know, if there's a mom and pop sporting goods, mom and pop grocery, you couldn't survive a Walmart. Well, dollar stores are kind of playing that same role for the smallest towns now in the United States.
So the dollar stores are not new, though, Garrick. I mean, I noticed some of these chains go back a half century or more. I mean, what sort of shot the starting gun to get this race going?
Yeah. So really, one of the most interesting things, I was trying to figure out going back to last year's election. I remember watching the primary in Vermont, and this was a state that had unemployment at about 2.9%. And the primary night on the left, it was Bernie that won, a socialist. On the right, it was Trump, who is, well, Trump. And I tried to figure out, why are people just so angry? And really, if you go back to the Great Recession and you look at job growth, even though right now we're almost near structural full employment, if you look at highly skilled jobs, if you break it into skill levels, highly skilled jobs have increased by about 7%. Low-skilled jobs have increased by about 6%, but middle-skilled jobs have decreased by about 5%. And it's actually a global phenomenon. So you're trying to understand this backlash against globalism. That's where it is. But what it's meant in the United States is it's meant that a lot of middle-class consumers during the Great Recession traded down. They went from being Macy's consumers to Marshall's and TJ Maxx consumers, and they never came back. And that's been a fertile growing ground for the dollar store chains that essentially the middle in retail has eroded. That's where the closures are happening. That's where the bankruptcies are happening. Luxury retail is holding its own against the internet and against the discounters. But everyone who's growing in retail right now, pretty much it's about off-price value, cheap goods, and dollar stores are leading the way.
Garrick Brown is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, a retail analyst. In fact, the vice president of retail research for the Americas for the firm Cushman & Wakefield. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange. Talk about dollar stores in your town. Has one come in? What has that done to your downtown area? Did other stores close when they came in? Join us on the Jefferson Exchange with your comments and questions at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Now, I know not all the dollar stores actually sell things for just a dollar, but, I mean, what are some of the advantages they have in size or in inventory other than price that makes them viable in some of these fairly small places?
Well, you know, at this point, you're dealing with almost all of these chains. You know, Family Dollar would be one of the largest, Dollar General. These are chains that now have 8,000, 9,000 stores or more. So they have significant buying power. And that helps. But nearly all of their goods are made in Southeast Asia. It's almost all imported. You know, all of the big five, as far as the top dollar store chains, have massive warehouses near the Port of Los Angeles. That's where most of their goods come in from the Far East. So it's kind of ironic. I mean, I find it ironic that they are prevailing in many of the most conservative towns and locales that are very much, you know, pro-Buy American, yet at the same time, the overwhelming majority of their goods, when you get away from their food offerings, which is entirely different story, but if you look at their hard goods, it's almost all Asian imports. And that's one interesting thing that's also happened with them is their expansion of food offerings in the last few years. This is something that's fairly new to dollar store chains, but nearly all of them have gone through added refrigerator systems, freezers, coolers, so that they've gotten into the food game really to compete, you know, not just with other traditional retailers, but now in small towns, they're competing with groceries, with convenience stores. They've really kind of got their fingers into a little bit of everything.
So they become the everything store then for some of these really small towns.
Absolutely. And what's interesting, you know, when we deal with retailers looking to grow, you know, usually they'll come with a list of certain demographics. And, you know, the first one is trade area size. And most retailers measure that in a 1, 3, or 5 mile radius. And it's always been unheard of that you would go as low as some of these chains where, you know, 5,000 people in a 3 mile radius, that's fairly typical.
Huh.
And, you know, that's the kind of thing that, you know, your typical, your mainstream retail operators usually are looking for 50,000 people in a three mile radius. So they definitely fill a niche and a void that's been left behind in small town America. But what's interesting is the amount of growth that they've had. We're actually reaching a point of saturation that these largest chains have been going head to head at one another, and they're running out of sites. So it's not uncommon for a small town to have two dollar stores that have both been erected in the last 24 to 48 months, where they're basically battling it out for market dominance.
Well, and you mentioned, too, about, you know, having 5,000 people within 3 miles, and they usually want about 10 times that much. Case in point, as I was looking yesterday on the locator for Dollar General, I found 24 Dollar General stores within 100 miles of Medford, which is more or less the geographical center of a broad listening area. Myrtle Creek, Oregon alone has two Dollar Generals and fewer than 4,000 people.
Well, and this is going to be one of the challenges. When you look at how Wall Street measures growth, and Wall Street's behind a large amount of this for very specific reasons I'm about to share. But when you look at how they measure growth from a retailer, there's really two ways. There's organic growth, which we would measure through what they call same store sales. And that's where a store's been in the same place for years. You just measure their metrics year against year, so that 1 year you might be up 5% because perhaps the economy is better. Maybe you're doing a better job of merchandising. You've caught on to some better trends or something. The other way that these chains register growth is just through expansion, opening new locations. And Wall Street responds positively to that. So most of the dollar store chains have seen their stock skyrocket in recent years. Here's the challenge. As more and more of these have opened, those same store sales levels, which say 5 years ago would average in the 4 to 5% increase range every year, those have been dropping. And what that tells me is the market is saturated, yet the stock prices keep going up. So these companies keep doing, going through this aggressive expansion plan. And that's going to become a big challenge, I think, ahead, because once the market is fully saturated, then it's about the battle for dominance. And that's where the winners and losers start to show up. That's literally where you'll see, sooner or later, you're going to see some of these chains go belly up. And I think that window is probably coming up maybe 12 to 18 months in the near future. You just can't grow this aggressively, so consistently for so long and not hit a wall. I mean, Dollar General is going to do 1,000 new stores this year, mm-hmm. and it's the fourth year in a row that they've done 1,000 new stores, one chain. Dollar Tree, 650 new stores this year. And even like one of the lesser players, Dollarama, 70 stores a year. And that would be aggressive for any chain. I mean, to put it in perspective, though certainly we're talking much different sizes, Target will probably open 30 new stores this year while closing about 15 underperformers.
We're talking to Garrick Brown from Cushman & Wakefield, where he's the Vice President of Retail Research for the Americas, about the dollar stores and their proliferation across the landscape. You just heard the numbers. Dollar General, 1,000 stores this year. Dollar Tree, 650 stores. You can join the conversation on the exchange. Tell us about a dollar store that may have come to your town and what it's changed. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So if there's going to be a shakeout then, and you're seeing it no later than it sounds like sometime in the year 2020, I mean, so are some of these towns that kind of put all their eggs in the dollar store basket going to end up without a store again?
Well, it's probably not likely that really what's going to happen is the weakest of the dollar store players will go down. We've already seen one chain. There was a chain called Benny's, very small chain in New England.
All right. Yeah. I've shopped there when I lived there. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They went bankrupt earlier this year and shut all their stores down. And mainly because they couldn't compete against the giants, the Dollar Tree, Dollar General, et cetera. So, there's always some winners and losers in the retail world. It's not like there's any sector within retail where there isn't some competition. I just think that what we're going to see probably, a year and a half, 2 years down the road, is that there won't be room for all of these giants. And that's where what'll happen is the weakest of them, and it'll be either the one with the weakest sales or the one that has the most debt. That'll be the player that probably goes down or gets gobbled up by another. Consolidation, though, it literally is at this point, it's going to be a given. You just can't put up these type of growth numbers. And first off, you can't grow this rapidly and really do site selection properly. When you're one of these chains and your real estate staff is supposed to find you 1,000 locations a year, that's a huge, huge job. And literally you get to the point where you're not going to do the same due diligence than if you were going through much more measured growth.
So what is
it? That's going to be a problem.
All right, Garrick, what does it say then about and assumptions about the economy by the people who live in it? I mean, if we're talking about there's no middle left in retail, is there a broad bottom end now then?
There definitely is. And, one could make the argument that the dollar stores, the discounters, in some ways are betting that this is permanent, that we're going to have this division of wealth at current levels going forward, that we're going to have a weak middle class going forward. One could make that argument, but then certainly, it's not just the economics of it. In the middle, you've also had the challenge of Amazon, which really what's happened is, if you look at throughout the entire retail world, there's simply not much of a middle anywhere anymore, because that middle has been taken over by online for the most part. Online retail, whether it's Wayfair, whether it's Amazon, whether it's Walmart with their acquisition of Jet.com. Retailers, we had it so good for so long that we could build shopping centers that were boring, mediocre, cookie cutter. We could build chains that didn't have much of a differentiation amongst each other. And we've reached a new era in retail where there's just not going to be room for mediocrity anymore.
Well, which raises another question, Garrick, and I want to get this in. We have about a minute before we have to go. So are small-scale stores, for example, like the mom-and-pops of whatever, I mean, are they just not viable in cities under a certain population anymore?
It's a very huge challenge, simply because they cannot compete on price. Their buying power is nothing compared to these giant mega chains. And as long as consumers are focused so strongly on value, it's extremely difficult for the independents. What I'm seeing is independent retailers that are more focused on the upscale or luxury end, they have much better of a fighting chance. But at the low end, as far as price points, it's very difficult for a mom and pop to survive in the current environment.
All right. Other things
will probably get worse.
All right. Yeah. There's a wealth of stuff in you. We want to pick your brain later on about some other stuff on retail, but not in this discussion today about dollar stores. Garrick Brown is the vice president of retail research in the Americas for the firm Cushman & Wakefield, involved in commercial real estate. Thanks for illuminating our minds about what's going on with dollar stores. Appreciate it.